Okay, this morning I've got Dave Seamark. We've got an adventure that we are, well, we, the royal
No, you're having some creative input,
guess. There
that's
you go.
fine. I might be writing it, but yeah.
Yeah, so the, how do you pronounce the title? I guess what the proposed title is.
The Blood of Nanku Bala.
Okay. So Dave submitted a initial draft. And which is absolutely full of, I was listening to a podcast about Indiana Jones, and
Okay.
it is like very, it's a set of series of very evocative set pieces, and so this is like concentrated, full of very, very evocative set pieses. So now we're kind of looking at splitting those up, keeping all those, but maybe spreading it out over a multiple series of adventures. And so, this is going to be a sort of sorcery setting, depending on how much sorcery, I guess we have not been fully determined yet. But we are kind of going to talk about the, and the purpose of this is there's people have been asking. I've done some on adventure design. I was going to start a series where I'm just fumble through because I'm not really an adventure designer. But people have found that, this kind of discussion is helpful. So. Hopefully, our find, my finding my way in the dark and in our playing around will prove efficacious for somebody.
Cool.
Okay. So we're looking at. So I think the proposal really, because we're going to look at 10,000 words approximately for a scenario, or for a combination of scenarios, kind of in between. So, your proposal here was the, so the I guess go for the first one. So what is chapter one? You have the Queen Dodo Kalesia, I can't pronounce it.
Kalasaya.
Kalesia, and then so how would you view the series of events for this one?
Yeah, so I think so there are kind of six elements to the story. And the sort of the chapter one, as kind of noted there in that email, is pretty much the prologue in the original story. So in the original story, it's getting you, it's setting up the what's happening. It's giving you the background. It's giving the players the motivation to go and take part in the adventure. And I think, well, one of the things I was trying to do there was make it so that players coming to it could come to it from a variety of angles. So they could be part of the court of the Daughter Queen.
Yes.
They could be from Cleven Kurz. They could be part of the sort of the spiritual order of the bad guy in the original story, or they could just be Tomb Raiders, and
Yes.
they're therefore, broadening the scope for the players to join the story. I kind of quite like that. I quite like to keep that, but if it's easier just to run it as a direct story from the Queen in Illic, then we can do that. That's no problem.
No, I don't necessarily. No, I think that no, that's absolutely fine. I think the way what I'm viewing, why the way I view it is that they, I think having a through line is very is one important aspect. But also, I think also writing in a way that they also stand alone. So it may, each one may end up adding by doing this. We may be adding like an extra page with each adventure.
Yeah. So I think if going back to the original question then, what does chapter one now become? Chapter one, I think, needs to feel like a standalone story when the players start it. So they are being told to go to the Lost City, find the house of Nanku Bala, and stop the bad guy doing the bad thing, which is in the story. He's going to use kind of the magic within the shrine in the house of Nanku Bala to age the cousin of the queen, who will then become a better candidate for the throne and obviously be under the control of the bad guy. So I think that's the basic story. Go there, find the bad guy, stop him doing the bad thing. But I think in getting there, they won't be able to achieve that. And in getting there, they then. So again, in the original story, they come across the sort of, Nankubala, or a statue that is infused by the god Nankubala, who then says, "I'm not letting you pass because you don't have the right blood in your veins. You've then got to convince me to let you through," which then takes you to chapter 2, chapter 3, chapter 4, and chapter 5. So in this one, I think maybe there just needs to be a definitive end to that story in chapter 1. So the definitive end could be that there is a priest or a priestly group of Nankubala worshippers who they've got to defeat, perhaps, or in some way they think they're defeating the bad guy that they're chasing, but actually they haven't done that. And that then leads on to the, if you want to progress, you have got to appease Nankubala by speaking to her servants and getting the gifts that she wants from those servants.
So I think that ultimately, if the big bad thing you're trying to stop. So what you're saying is so at chapter 6, what's going to happen in chapter 6?
So chapter 6. So I think in the reworked idea, chapter 6 would then be you return to the city. You find that the city has kind of awoken as a result of your interactions with the servants. You have to get through the city with the challenges that will then present you back to the house of Nankubala. You present the gifts to Nankubala. Nankubala then decides whether she's pleased or displeased with you, and that then dictates how you can then get past her. And then getting past her takes you to the location, the shrine, where the big bad guy is doing the bad thing with the queen's cousin. And that's where you stop that. So that's based on the original story.
So to me, I think I wonder if it make more logic to actually, as they go through, they learn more until finally they achieve the very end, which is something very cataclysmic.
Mm. Yeah, so thinking about so maybe what needs to be different is the reason for going to each of the servants of Nankubala.
I'm just going to throw something really crazy, Dave. The thing that stood out most of everything that you wrote is the creature that's able to, it's from another dimension.
The sage.
The sage.
Yeah.
Now, he could be the one that ties it all together, and maybe he's the mastermind behind this all, and maybe his motives are very weird and seem self-contradictory, and maybe there's a cult with him, and maybe as things go, it's revealed that he's the one that's been pulling the strings in ways that are kind of weird.
So perhaps then the sage is trying to supplant Nankubala. The sage is fed up being a servant and wants to be the demigod in charge, perhaps. See, because at the moment, each encounter with the four servants is based very much on the fact that they are in thrall to Nankubala, the god, the goddess. And they are, you know, they're not competing with her in any sense. They are servants of hers. But yeah, so again, just trying to think how that gets woven.
Well, I'm not necessarily, you know, just in general, this is a creature that appears that could be, that doesn't think like people do.
Yeah.
Maybe does not even live on a linear timeline or something weird like that. Maybe, you know, his goal is to kill off all the others and then finally the goddess herself. I don't know. Or maybe he just wants to die himself. I don't know. Or maybe things get killed. He gets killed early on or something happens early on, but that's, he wants, he's been orchestrating stuff maybe behind the background. I don't know. He just is such an interesting, or it's such an interesting character. Like, and yeah. it allows for a lot of possibilities of weird twists, I think is what I noticed about this character, because it's just such an alien. And you start dealing with futures and possible futures.
Yeah.
You know, that's like very fun stuff. And that would allow you in some ways to even move back and forth in time.
Yeah. Which I think the encounters do that, but very specific. No, they're not. They are just like another room, really, rather than another time and space.
Yeah, well, like for instance, I think in general, like this, like the going to the Lost City and stopping something, that probably I think could be an adventure in of itself. Like,
yeah.
Because the city, you're probably, if you're in a lost city, you're going to want people to be in the lost city doing, it needs to be part of the, it needs to be a character in the story.
Yeah.
Or it's, yeah, it's in ruins and then later on it becomes a character.
So I think I quite like the idea that it's a lost city and it's ruined when they first find it. But when they go back to it, what they've done has led to it coming back to life in some sense.
Yeah.
And so when they come back to it, expecting it to be dead, it's all very different. So I quite like the idea of that. So I think that's, yeah. So I think maybe there's something about the original, so the original story, because the sage is probably going to be so operating on such different plane, as you say, we won't even think in the way that we do, that it's not going to have any interest in what the big bad guy is doing with the queen's cousin. That's all like mortal stuff. Who cares about what they do? You know, let them kill each other. Doesn't matter. So is there something that either the big bad inadvertently does that kind of awakens something, or is there some conspiracy behind that? So as you say, maybe the sage has got like a priesthood of its own. And that could be another.
That would be a very fun cult.
Yeah. And maybe they are, I don't know, they're trying to do something.
Because they could be patrons. You know, or somehow just wind up in the plot occasionally. I don't know, but they could be the ones that are the ones that are starting things in motion. Maybe on both sides.
Yeah. So I've come up with this idea of the Siren Order, and there are four parts to it, and the big bad is a member of one of them. So maybe this priesthood is one of the other parts of that order, perhaps, but just nobody realizes it until the players find it out.
Yeah, maybe it doesn't get revealed until later on.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
So So the idea is there's a princess that's being, or a person of nobility that's being held hostage, taken to the city for sacrifice, and that the players, for whatever reason, are colliding with that plot, right? So either trying to stop it, or they just happen to be there.
Yeah.
And so but there was this lycanthropy going on.
Yeah. Right? So the idea was that Kurajan, who's the big bad guy, is trying to use the magic from, or use the power within the House of Nenkubala to turn the prince, the young prince, and age him quickly, grow him into an adult quickly. And in that process, he gets this kind of, you know, I can't remember what I called it, like you say, some kind of, you know, like lycanthropy. The idea being that he then comes back to the kingdom and supplants the queen because she's too young and not well supported for being a girl. And the players are trying to stop that. Now, we could, again, if it's easier or simpler for the story, it could just be that the big bad is sacrificing the prince in order to develop enough power for the sage to challenge Nenkubala, perhaps.
Yeah, or maybe the thing is, it could just be the sage. You know, the idea is maybe the sage is just setting things in motion, and maybe whatever is happening with the players colliding with this situation, like, maybe it's not really about supplanting. Maybe it's not that. It's just these events occurring is what's important.
Yeah, maybe the sage, because he's prescient, has seen something in the future that he's either trying to stop or is trying to, or he's trying to make it happen or make it happen more quickly.
Yeah, and maybe it's maybe, not necessarily directing that way, but, you know, it's like maybe it's like World War I or World War II. Like, maybe he worked both sides so this happens, but he really isn't caring about either side. But there's something else that occurs in the aftermath of that. That's important.
Mm.
You know, maybe it is actually the discovery of a certain artifact in a certain location that occurs because all these people are coming together. Then it becomes in the hands of the PCs or some knowledge that's revealed or something that happens. Or maybe, you know, part of that ritual actually, you know, maybe whoever that person is that you're going to save, she's going to die no matter what. And that's just, you know, that's just a matter of fate. That's a thing that juices up something. And then there's still the aftermath to deal with. So something is going to happen no matter what. But then there's an aftermath that's not maybe important to the sage. What happens afterwards, but then the players are dealing with what happens afterwards.
Yeah. And maybe what happens afterwards is some either enormous war is kicked off or some terrible plague is released.
Or there's a werewolf, lycanthropic creature that they now have to deal with or let go or something. I don't know.
Yeah. So yeah, it changes the kind of structure of the story quite significantly. So if the sage is now becoming something more important than just an encounter that the players have got to work their way through in the best way possible in order to appease the other god. That probably means the reason for seeing the other servants or having to go to their lairs is going to be different as well.
Yeah, or it's the one indirectly guiding them or guiding them through those. And maybe they are thinking they're doing it for and maybe he's fooling the goddess herself too.
Yeah, I mean, I quite like the idea that the sage is, that has got a bigger role to play. Then I think it's quite possible that what Quirijan, the bad wizard, is doing is probably related to the sage. So he is part of the Sirin order that is secretly worshipping or honouring the sage. Then the question is, what is the sage getting them to do? And how does that get the players to, why do the players then need to visit the other servants?
So what was the reason for the spider? Because she needed to die, right? And to carry on the...
Yeah, so the servant, the spider was the old widow. Nankubala needs her to be replaced. She is sort of cultivating the eggs, one of which will replace her. But she obviously, the old widow, thinks she can still be useful and doesn't want to be replaced. And Nankubala basically gets them to go and get the new widow. And if that involves killing the old widow at the same time, which is your kind of end of scenario boss fight, then that's fine.
Well, it could be that the guardian just wants this creature out of the way. Maybe he's also planted the seeds of you know, it's time for, you know, maybe normally the goddess would have waited for this, but maybe he's manipulated her into dispatching the spider sooner. He upped the timeline.
Yeah.
And it creates a weakness, so she has one less servant that's powerful. Because now you've just weakened. She has a servant now that was old and maybe outside of her prime, but also the replacement's going to be very weak.
Yeah. So thinking, yeah, are they manipulated into effectively taking out or neutralizing the power of the other servants by the sage, because the sage, you know, wants to be dominant. He perhaps can't leave it. Maybe the sage is a... Yeah, so maybe, perhaps the sage has been reprimanded by Nankubala and is effectively confined through Nankubala's power to its place, its location, where it lives, where it resides. And it is trying to influence the outside world, the mortal world, to help release it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, so perhaps the first chapter is they go to the house of Nankubala. They don't actually talk to Nankubala itself. The statue can be there, obviously, as a foreshadowing for something that comes later. They effectively, you know, kind of win. They save the prince, or the prince gets killed. That doesn't really matter either way, I don't think, to the story. But in doing that, they uncover that there is something else going on here. And that something else is the sage trying to get itself freed from its shackles. And that then gives them, it needs a bit of work, I need to work out how this works, but it will give them motivation to go to the four servants of Nanki Bala to try and find out more, one of whom is the sage who is trying to manipulate the situation to its own advantage.
Yeah, and each one, there could be a, there could be like several motivations, like maybe every one of these is going to involve wealth of some sort, or, the gaining of some sort of, maybe it's multiple things that each thing would gain to kind of provide multiple motivations for a group.
Yeah. So maybe there's something in each of those four locations. So maybe it's something they find is that in chapter one, they find that for some reason, or they're deluded into thinking for some reason, that the power of Nanki Bala has been severely damaged. And that threatens kind of, the safety of the realm, because lots of other bad things can come creeping out of the ether to cause a lot of problem if Nanki Bala isn't kind of keeping a lid on it. And to restore her, they need to go to her four servants to get something, an item or a gift, as I've called it, to help restore Nanki Bala's power. So actually, they're not talking to Nanki Bala as we've got it in the story, but you've got a priest of Nanki Bala who perhaps tells them this. But behind all of that, you've got the sage. Yeah, just trying to think why that would mean, why you'd need to fight the servants then. Because you probably wouldn't.
So the ultimate goal, so there could be a couple things. So the ultimate goal is to restore Nanki Bala, right? Is that the idea?
That was the thought, yeah. So Nanki Bala has been weakened, and in order to help restore Nanki Bala, they need to get some favor or something from each of her servants.
So it's not going to be about, then it's not about, okay. So let's think about this. So she has, there's a goddess and she has servants.
But one of those servants is kind of bristling under the yoke of working, of being under the goddess, and that's the sage.
Or it could be that maybe the idea is, so for the spider needed it to die. And then the sage, I think, would you need one of its eyes? Was it the premise?
Yes. So in that one, yeah, the premise of that one is that the sage is, has got a kind of a mortal eye as well as a mind's eye, and it's being distracted from its job by the mortal visions it's getting through its real eye. So you had to basically take its eye off it.
And maybe that's something it needs to happen to further its own plans. And then once the PCs have that eye, that's an artifact.
But there's something there. So maybe the eye is the thing that. So maybe this eye orb is where the sage's kind of essence is bound to. and having that removed from the sage's cage, effectively, allows the sage to escape.
Ooh.
So it can then manifest itself through the eye. So that's its way of escaping from its cage that it's been set in by Nenkubala. It does still raise the question of how do we get the players to want to go and find the eye, and they wouldn't be directed by a priest of Nenkubala to go and get the eye, because the priest would presumably know that the sage had been, you know, bound up in its home.
Or maybe the eye is what's constraining it. And once it's removed, it's no longer has those constraints.
Yeah, that's not a bad idea.
But maybe it doesn't want Nenkubala to know that that's what it's wanting. And so it wants to, make it look like she needs to have it forcibly removed or something like that.
Mm. Or maybe okay, maybe the servants aren't servants at all. They're prisoners. Maybe they're all prisoners. And this is a plot to get them all released.
Oh, nice.
So releasing the spider might be that you kill the old spider, you take the new one, but then effectively the essence of the old spider transferred into the new one, but then that allows it to escape because it's too big. It just can't get out. I'll have to think about the other two, the Magister and the Guardian. The Magister is the giant undead revenant. But I'm sure they'll come up with something.
So that to me very much, very, very much feels like a Egyptian style adventure. And that one might need best to just be excised and then actually have a small adventure just by itself, which I think is very valid. Because, you know, to me, you're talking about tombs and undead. It seems to me like it seems to be like a very much a very prime opportunity for a dungeon.
Yeah. 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 So... So when that's fine. So when you say, you know, it has a very Egyptian feel to it, in the context of this, is that a good thing or a bad thing?
I don't think necessarily a good thing. Okay, so here's the way I would look at it. Either we are, one possibility is we're doing the globe hopping, or we keep things kind of done. If we're doing globe hopping, then the time span of things is going to change a little bit, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And that's fine. I don't have a problem with that. It just, I'm just saying is whether we want events to occur, you know, over a longer period of time and build up, or if this is just a series of events that occur within a period of a year or so.
So one thing, that's a very valid question. I mean, if we didn't want it to go too far away, we could have the chambers for all of the servants or the prisoners in the Lost City, but in different locations in the Lost City. So it's all kind of close by, but it's not all in the same one big dungeon.
Yeah, I think it's possible. I just, and that could be, I just don't know space-wise. Now we're going to be talking about a lot of space. which isn't a problem. But as far as if we're writing like a big, like a normal, like A4 sized, you know, 48 page adventure. But I don't know for this, I think that's the, if we're just looking at like setups for scenes, but you could also, that tomb could still be in the middle of a mountain too. It doesn't have to be in a desert. Yeah. And the undead could, you know, we can do that. It's just, for whatever reason, that just kind of made me think, oh, Egyptian sand. Okay. You know, it's like.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. Could, it, yeah.
But it doesn't have to be. It could be a tomb inside of, in the middle of a mountain. And it could be, you know, so that doesn't have to happen. I just was just. Mm-hmm. But also each one of these, you know, like the spider, it may not take up, you know, that much space. And the sage may not take up that much space, but the magister could, you know, that could definitely be a, like both those, maybe they're small adventures. And then maybe the guardian is, or the magister is a large one, you know, maybe that's a 10, 12, 14,000 word, adventure.
Yeah, I mean, they could be. I mean, obviously, I kept them very kind of like small and contained.
Because but I think what the thing is, there's the stuff that leads up to it and around it that I think I want to develop.
Yeah.
And that's where I think, and I think there's a plenty of opportunity, because while we're doing this, I want to also be the setting I want to expand out as we're going.
Yeah, right, yeah. So it makes sense then for the... for all the servants or the prisoners to be in locations that are distant from the lost city. Because then it forces players to travel the world and explore more of the culture and the history.
And the guardian is a guy that has the pools with the time travel?
No, that's the sage.
That's the sage. Okay, what was the guardian?
The guardian is... so that's the... that's kind of the ghostly one who's in the shadows, and you've got to capture the essence of its shadow.
That's fun. Yeah, I would say, and then maybe
because everything's. Yeah, sorry, go on.
Oh, I'm just saying because. No, I think that works out good. I just think in everything you have, you do have an object that's been performed, a task that's been done, and then you also have the results of whatever's been done, and then you also have a something tangible that the characters have after each event, potentially.
Yeah.
And so, like, for instance, like maybe some of these things, like maybe the spider. Maybe the, you know, maybe one is the event that happens, but maybe there's an item that the players will undoubtedly pick up that will keep, they will keep, and that becomes important later on.
Yeah.
And maybe it's not that obvious it's important. Like maybe the spider is, they save a person early on. It's maybe wrapped up in the webs. And then later on, they find that person's important, and they go back and utilize that person.
Yeah.
Of course, you're going to make sure that whatever you do, that they don't, like, doesn't die or whatever. But there could be just odds and ends that are sprinkled through here. Then at the end, it's like, okay, now we got to go find the you know, the girl that was, you know, saved from the woods. And I've got this medallion that we got from such and such. And and we have the eye of the sage. And that all leads to, you know, the final, the final thing. But I think that the time travel is also very cool.
Mm-hmm. So I wonder if the big story is then that these are all actually prisoners rather than servants. And Nanki Bala has been keeping them imprisoned. And the players are being kind of hoodwinked into helping them be released.
Yeah.
And then at the end, the last chapter would be kind of returning to Kalasaya to complete what they had originally set out to do. Realizing though then that what they've done is actually release these things, and they are, maybe there's a big final scene where all the prisoners kind of reappear and they've got to fight all of them.
Or maybe the final thing is they don't have to fight all of them, but that's possible. Or maybe they have now imprisoned
Nankubala,
yeah. And then they have to free her. They have to free her. It's like, oh, what have we done?
And that could either be part of that final chapter, or that could be a prelude to a complete new scenario.
Yeah.
Okay. So are you liking that idea, that principle?
Yeah, I think that works out good, because what we do is we have a series of events. Things are progressing, and maybe characters learn a little bit about the end, and maybe we can do a little foreshadowing. And then I think if if we're doing higher level characters, then I think the idea of imprisoning the goddess, and maybe that is them at that point going back in time using the components that they have.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah, that's quite cool. I like that, yeah. So I guess it just brings us back to the very first question of what has happened, and what is Kurajan the bad wizard up to?
Maybe he's not up to any big bad thing. Maybe he's just simply wanting political power or whatever. He's just a pawn in this whole thing that gets moved. Yeah. He has no clue what's going on. And it's just all these circumstances collide together into this event. And it could be that, at the end where... and maybe however the events unfold at the end, that is what the Guardian wanted the whole time. Whatever that is. I don't know.
Yeah.
Because, like, did you ever watch, even though I think they've done Bear, like Kang the Conqueror in the Marvel Cinematic Universe?
No, I haven't seen that, no.
Well, there's apparently, he's kind of a deal, his thing is with time, but there's multiple iterations of him. And some iterations are trying to get rid of other iterations. It's like,
yeah, I did have a think if for one of the things was they could use the temporal portal to go slightly ahead in time and kill the monster that's going to kill them later on when they leave.
Oh, that's cool. that is absolutely great. That is absolutely phenomenal.
I don't think I kept it in. But I could put it back in if
you can't kill Godzilla adult, but you can kill baby Godzilla.
yeah, exactly, yeah. Yeah, the time old question, isn't it?
And I will say with Conan and with Sword and Sorcery adventures and such, I think this whole time thing is very cool and works. And you don't have to worry. You don't have to get super, think of what's the term where you paradoxes and all that. I mean, you don't have to get all worried about that, especially if you set it back far enough.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Okay. So for chapter one, then, it can have the same start. It can have Kurajan the bad wizard doing the bad things that we've got him doing. They go to the Lost City to stop him doing what he's doing. The ending can happen there, but something else, whilst they're in the Lost City, they come across the fact that something is wrong with Nanki Bala, and to fix that, to help Nanki Bala heal, they need to go and visit what are called the servants. And that leads us on to chapter 2, 3, 4, and 5. And then they return in chapter 6, thinking they've done what they need to do to help heal Nanki Bala, but actually this is helping the prisoners imprison Nanki Bala.
Yeah, and I think the other thing too is we could also even have it where, depending on what your, I think those three or so different directions you came from, treasure hunters or, yeah, you know, whatever, we could just write for each one the motivation, go to the next one, because they're going to be slightly different. Because the treasure hunters are not going to care about Nanki Bala, but
these, if they're packed full of treasure.
Yeah. Yes, that is the yeah, exactly. So I think as long as we, you know, if we have those three different ways characters will enter into the adventure, it's easy to have all three of those motivations to go to the next one.
Yeah. Yep.
And the treasure hunter angle always works for just a standalone adventure.
Yeah.
Or what we could do for the stand, you know, as a standalone, it could, we just go in media res too. You don't have to, like, you know, it just doesn't be as simple as you're in the valley of such and such. You just, you know, we could start adventures that way. There's no problem with starting media res.
Yeah. 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 No, that's cool. I guess the advantage of doing it differently is if we set each of the servants in a different location in the world, then we've got the opportunity to expand on the lore and the history of that bit of the world in the scenario.
Yeah, and it doesn't have to be like, even we don't have to do like super globe trotting, but it could, you know, but it could just be in that region, so to speak, or it could be as far out as you want too. You know, we're not limited.
No. Okay, cool. I mean, just conscious of the time, Jeff. So for the overall kind of structure of the six chapters and how you would want to kind of release them, what sort of total word count are you thinking of?
Well, I mean, as far as I'm concerned, I would like to do at least, you know, for you, at least, it depends how things work out, at least two a year. I think I would like to have in each issue, probably, we'll say 10 to 15,000 words.
Right.
Of that. And so, yeah, as far as this goes, I'm not really worried about, I think, especially since they can be standalone, this doesn't have to go on, like, we don't have to make it short or long, but I think whatever just makes it feel like it makes sense. And if all of a sudden you're saying, you know, this portion here, I think we could do something else with it afterwards, we can do that. I have no problems with that. So I'm just looking at it as a series of adventures, and we'll just keep, you know, keep plodding along. And I don't know, and maybe some issues, depends how well this does, Dave. So
yeah, of course, yeah.
If this does very well, I may say, Dave, I want you to, you know, write the whole thing, or we're going to expand it out to so many pages or whatever. But as far as I'm concerned, I think it should be a viable project, at least as we outlined. And I think it will do better than I'm cautious about. So, so I think about, I'm still thinking about 12,000, 10 to 15,000 words per issue. And then maybe more, maybe less, depending, but, I think it just, what makes sense, for, the adventure.
Yeah. Yeah. So in terms of kind of the next issue then, how much should we try and cover? So we've obviously got six chapters noted there. Did we want to do two of those for the first issue or three?
I think the Lost City is plenty right there.
Right.
Because I think there needs to be something happening. So the way I look at it is there needs to be some sort of conflict or discovery going on between where the characters start before they hit the last scene. So yeah. I don't know if it's overcoming bandits or if it's overcoming or it's going through the city and having to deal with, you know, there needs to be something before they get to that.
Yeah. Yeah, so definitely the Lost City. I mean, because, you know, I did very little on that because we didn't have the words. So that's easy to expand. The House of Nankubala, in terms of that top level without the servants levels on it, I can expand that into a bit more of a dungeon crawl. That'll be easy enough.
So there could be, like, for instance, there could be in this Lost City, in Moats and Ruins, there could be some group of people that live there. Like, so this is very sort of sorcery. It could just be degenerated people that live there, or there could be a cloistered group, like whatever reason they're not friendly at all. And that would be very possible. I mean, they could be degenerates from the Lost City. It's from its heyday, and maybe they're bound there, and that could be a source of conflict. And that the wizards, you know, found a way through that.
Maybe these degenerates are like ancient versions of the lichen beast that is being created by the wizard.
Yeah,
but more like Morlocks from the time machine.
Yeah. Perhaps. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. That works. I can.
And I think that gives them ability to do a little exploring, maybe have hazards they can either fight or try and avoid. And then there's probably just a handful of structures that partially remain. And those can be,
they can be explored.
Yeah, and they don't have to be very big. But it's when we come to the full city, that's maybe actually an actual adventure. I mean, the city is now a big adventure once they go to the restored city.
Mm. Yeah, so I was just thinking maybe there are visions of what this city used to be like. But behind those visions are these degenerate creatures that are eking a life out in the Lost City.
Yeah.
And then those visions become real at the end. So maybe those visions could be, in one sense beautiful, but in another sense terrifying. And
yeah, and maybe on a full moon when they come in or whatever, I mean, whatever the time of the seasons or day,
yeah,
maybe that's all of a sudden you can start to it kind of, you know, shows itself a little bit or becomes somewhat manifest.
Yeah. So okay. Yeah. So this is Earth based, so we can't have two moons, can we?
Well, here's what I will say is I'm 100% fine with that because it doesn't have to be our Earth.
Yeah.
And
I was just thinking, so there'd be a full moon, like the white moon, where it shows the city in all its glory and the beauty of it. And then you've got the black moon or the dark moon or the red moon, which then shows the dark side of the city in visions, which is all the beasts and horrible things that were happening there. And the players can see both.
Yeah, I think that's a very fun thing because I think by doing that simple little thing, even though you can show the map, it looks like ancient Earth. It does also show it's not our Earth.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, now that's cool. All right, so it sounds like we've got a plan for chapter one then.
Yeah,
you're happy with that?
Oh yeah.
Cool. So there will be a bit, obviously, I've got to do a bit of extra writing on that. What's your schedule, your plan now for the first issue?
Well, I think realistically, I don't know. My ambitions don't line up with reality. So what will happen is this thing will get written. Then we're going to, I'd like to have it sooner rather than later. I was kind of hoping to have something by October, ready to go. I would like to have something in October, maybe see if I can get some people to play it at Game Hall Con.
When is that, in October?
End of October.
Okay, so last week. That's entirely doable.
Okay.
I think so. What we got there. So if I take a deadline of the 20th of October, but I suspect I'll get it done much more quickly than that.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Or it does.
Would you like it a bit earlier? Let's say the 13th of October, because then that gives us a bit more breathing
space. Yeah. And then what I'll do is, my plan is then to run some people through it, and I'm sure that will provide, definitely some inputs there.
Cool.
But I think the idea is we've kept it simple, and that's why I found, like, when I was reading through some of these others, they aren't necessarily, they may have things going on, but it's not a large amount of things happening. It's actually extended out. So I think we've got a nice pace for this adventure. And I would say we can just keep going along that same pace. It'll be good. So a little exploration, a little fighting, then a big thing at the end. And then there's the reveal. To be continued.
Yep. That sounds cool. And you said what? So between 10,000 and 15,000 words, however it feels.
Yes. I think this one's going to probably take it. It could be the spider doesn't. But the thing is, as far as I'm concerned, Dave, we can figure out words for you to write.
So I think for the other ones, it depends, so if we are thinking of using chapters 2 to 5 as opportunities to explore the lore of the world a bit, then, there would be a bit of exploration and traveling involved in those scenarios, and then finding the location where they are.
Let's just
see how it goes when it comes to it. But, yeah, and obviously, I'm just throwing in stuff that I think of that comes to mind in terms of, like the Siren Order and some of the other sort of background lore stuff. So, obviously,
do you have that thrown together in a handful of paragraphs?
I was going to write it down, and I'm not sure that I did or I didn't. So, let me check, and I'll have a look, and I'll ping you. And if I haven't, I'll jot it down on in notes form and ping it through to you.
Okay, and I'll just give you some thoughts on that as well, because that could be expanded out. And okay, cool. I think I need to probably let you go so you can go about your day visiting. Was it your father?
Yep. I think that's everything I need. And I'll make it for level 2. Shall I?
Yeah, I would say.
Or did you even want it for level 1?
I would say that's a good question. And I have not played, actually ran DCC. No, and we'll probably run this through a DCC editor before this is all said and done.
Yeah, that makes sense.
What I would say is, I would say just not worry about the levels. But just go ahead and place it what you think looks right. And we can adjust the dials. Because we may or may not need to, and it may not be that big a deal. Maybe as simple as, maybe they're 1-hit dice instead of 2-hit dice, or we decrease the number or increase the number. I think that's all secondary. I think the main thing is It sounds like we got some background characters or background monsters. We have a new location. And so I think, and then we got a cult that we're dealing with. It's obvious.
Yep.
So we got some really fun stuff. So I think with each one of those, so the cult's going to have a patron, and the patrons get their own write-ups.
Yeah.
And we may need somebody else to do some of that. But I think what we've done is we've established a thing, we can expand upon it, and that will also be part of the book.
Cool.
So like the patron will be, that will be outside the adventure. So if characters want to be a patron, have such and such as their patron, then there'll be rules for that.
Right. Okay.
Excellent.
Cool. Brilliant. Cheers, Jeff. Thank you for that.
Sure. And let me know if you want to Zoom again.
Yeah, will do. Will do. So I'll crack on with this. I've got a couple of other things I've got to finish off first. But I'll crack on with it in the next few weeks and let you know how I'm going.
Okay. That sounds great, Dave. Yeah, and I think once we get stuff ironed out for the first issue, then the next ones will come along.
All in place. Yeah, absolutely. I think it seems to make sense. So I think, yeah, that looks good.
Excellent. Well, thanks for great work, Dave. I mean, absolutely phenomenal. Phenomenal encounters and locations and situations.
I did like your phrase of 10 pounds of potatoes in a 5-pound bag. I told that to my wife. I thought, that's one I'm going to use from now on. I like that.
Yeah,
that's cool.
Well, I started to write. I don't know if that colloquialism like carries over or not. Sometimes I hear stuff, you know, it's just kind of weird. So I thought, well, I'll just go with it. It's the most descriptive.
Yeah, it worked. It was cool.
Okay.
Brilliant. All right, mate. Well, have a great day. Enjoy the rest of your weekend.
You too, Dave.
And yeah, speak soon.
Okay, take care.
All right, take care. Bye.
Bye.